Welcome to Art. Wah, wah, wah. With.
Fiona Verity.
Say it again.
Fiona.
No.
Fiona Verity.
And Julie Nicholson.
Welcome to this week's episode. We are talking with the mixed media artist, Karen Stamper, who is based in the UK and found some time to chat to us on Zoom about her mixed media practice and all about her courses that she runs online, which she does some fantastic collage and concertina sketchbooks. So really hope that you enjoy this week's podcast, and sorry about my dad's telephone call interrupting. We left that in because it's a bit of a giggle and a bit of chat at the start. So give you a bit of empathy for all of our friends and family across the seas in the UK who are doing it pretty tough at the moment. Usual gig. Check out the show notes for links, and please do enjoy listening to Karen. We'll catch you soon. Bye.
We haven't been out, my partner and I, we go out cycling, you know, but 6 months or more now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're English, aren't you? But
yeah, we are, yeah.
It's grim. I mean, have you got parents still here?
Yeah everyone's there.
All our family's there.
But it's just, you know, I mean, I might struggle today because I haven't really had a lot of social interaction, conversation.
Don't worry. I was going to say, I don't know, have you been to Australia?
Yeah.
Yes, you have. So, yeah, it's, I always liken Australia as a bit behind the times. So we're just catching up with you now.
I lived in Auckland, you know, so I know what behind the times is.
Oh, well, that's so far behind the times, it hasn't even caught up with it.
Oh, it's lovely because I know you know, you guys and Debbie and quite a few urban sketches from Sydney, and you know, I'm watching all your stuff and we're just like, and you're outside and you've got exhibitions and you can go places and you can do things, and it's,
I know
for you at the moment.
Yeah,
you will be there, Karen, don't worry, it will happen, I'm sure. It's just gonna take a while.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just, we just got to be patient. And as artists, you know, we're used to just going to the studio and keeping our heads down. But you do miss that stimulation, you know, just life.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. It's made everyone go a little bit cray-cray, for better or worse, I think. I don't know. My family have gone in all different directions of weirdness. But think, like, I went to a party the other day and that was the biggest gathering I've probably been to in a year. And there was 42 people for the whole weekend. And it was amazing how weird it wasn't. It literally felt like you clicked right back into it. And only once I went, oh, that's weird. Like, everyone's kissing on the cheek and, you know, it was totally normal and it didn't feel weird. So I do think, even though I know you've been in a lot longer, harder lockdown than we ever were, but I do think once you're out, it won't take long to feel back to normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're just so lucky here that we've got less people. And I think the way Sydney works, I'm always used to be spouting off about it's such a nanny state and there's too many bloody rules. But I've never been more grateful for them, because it has meant that we've got a handle on it. Yeah, which has been amazing, and we are very lucky. But we are in danger of living in this bubble, and we've always been far away from the rest of the world. And my concern is that we're going to end up becoming so nervous about letting the rest of the world back in, because we're doing okay, but we don't want to become that bloody great country on the edge of the world.
No. Look at, I mean, all my Kiwi mates, you know, they're, because we were back there a couple of years ago, and, you know, they almost don't message me because and a lot of them are Poms, you know. But I don't realise how bad it is, but also they know how bloody wonderful it is in New Zealand, you know, and they're just keeping quiet about it.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, we do. We do with our families. My sister-in-law has said, I'm not being rude, but if you post another effing picture of you on the beach or in a bar, or I'm not talking to you. So
yeah,
you
have to be careful.
You have to be careful. You do.
But well, it's a great job you're doing.
And thank you.
Yeah, we're having a ball.
Do you know the girls here? What do you call it? Alice and Louise. Yeah, Art Juice.
Yeah. Yes, yes, we do know Art. Well, we've listened to Art Juice.
Yeah, we listened to that one before we started, didn't we?
We did, yeah. And we thought, oh, we can
do that. It's gone on a couple of years now. I think they thought it was just this little thing, but now it's, you know, you've got to be prepared. You're in this for life now, you know.
Yeah,
no, I've got Fiona for life. That's the problem.
That's the only bit she doesn't want to do is put up with me for life. But I've told her, I'm like a rash. I'm not going away.
So, Karen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You are in the UK at the moment. Very grateful that you've
found the time to talk to us.
And
your busy social schedule.
In lockdown. So you're originally from Yorkshire. Whereabouts in Yorkshire are you from?
East Yorkshire, the other side of Hull. You know where that is?
Yes.
Near a northern town on the coast with docks and ships. And then when I went to art college, I didn't go far away. I only went across to Bradford, you know, a little further across, because I wanted to do a degree that was, I couldn't decide what I wanted to do. And I found this degree that did a few different things. So I mainly did silk screen printing when I was there. So I didn't go far from home. But after that, I went a long way from home.
Yeah, after that, you went to the other side of the world, didn't you? Down our end. So was that straight after uni that you went to New Zealand, or was it on the
way? No, I went travelling. I did my degree, didn't know what to do. You never know what you're going to do when you come out of art college. No. So I went off travelling, went to Greece. I got one of those, do you remember, Magic Bus? You used to be able to get a bus to Greece or somewhere for 30 quid. Mm. So I went and started working in Greece. I think I worked in bars for a while. And then I worked with as a holiday rep. And I was having a wonderful time and didn't really think then. I always had my sketchbooks, but I didn't really think about making an art career because you never think you're going to make a living out of painting, you know. And my dad said, come back and do your teacher training so you've got something to fall back on. Yeah. So I went back to Europe for a year or 8 months to do my teacher training, and then saw the kind of people that were going into teaching. You know, they didn't particularly like kids, they didn't know what else to do, so I legged it and went back to Greece, and I worked with the yacht charter companies for a few years in Greece and in Turkey, just having a wonderful time. Met loads of Australians and Kiwis, and because they were generally the skippers on the boats. And then I moved on from there. I had a New Zealand partner. We went to the Caribbean, and then we went to New Zealand, and ended up living in Auckland for a couple of years.
Wow, that's amazing. Even though we've just had a great, chat about how you guys are doing it tough in lockdown, and even though it just feels so long ago, doesn't it, to talk about travel? It just, we haven't been on a plane anywhere for a year, and we were in the Inner West in Sydney today, and I heard a plane going overhead and I didn't know what it was. I got a fright because it seems so long ago, doesn't it? All that travel sounds amazing. Do you miss it?
I do. And, you know, I still travel because I still run my sketchbook courses. I'm supposed to be doing one in Greece and one in Italy, but we'll see what happens this year. So I still make travel a big part of my life. But yeah, I know what you mean about planes, because I'm living in Cambridge in the UK and you hear the planes regularly, but now we just get the Air Force planes occasionally. We took it all so much for granted, didn't we? We jump on buses and planes and nip here, there and everywhere.
Yeah, definitely.
So did you do your art classes overseas in 2020? Could you still do that?
No, we were away ourselves in March on holiday, and then I haven't been away since then, so it's nearly a year. I've never spent so long in one place.
Wow. So
have you really sort of explored your local area? Like, you can, as you say, you cycle, do you go out, and is it quite nice seeing the same things over and over again in a way?
it's flat and green around Cambridge, you know, and I, every time there's something on the TV with the coast, I'm like, oh, I need to be by the sea, you know, I haven't been to the sea probably about 8 months now, and we haven't got any mountains around here. So, I mean, it's great for cycling, and we've both got new bikes and we're cycling loads. So we're getting fitter, but yeah, you know, you're not going, you're not seeing new sights, and it's all right.
Are you drawing inspiration for your artworks from the local area, or
No, you're in a funk? Yeah, I mean, my work the last few years has been all the kind of urban shoreline, so it's been harbours and docks, and again, you know, it's an hour for me to go to the coast. I used to drive out to Felixstowe in that area to sketch when I wanted inspiration, or I'd jump on a plane to Morocco. We used to go to Essaouira on the west coast.
I love it there. Oh, it's beautiful.
And it's so shabby and not that touristy. So we used to go there in March time. I used to use that for my artwork, you know, use that as a base. Because the harbour there is fantastic with the old fishing boats. Do you remember the big blue fishing
boats? Yeah. It's so beautiful there. It's really pretty, but quite grungy at the same time, isn't it?
I use the word shabby, but...
Yeah, I like grungy. grungy.
When I was living in Ireland, I thought, oh my God, back in Europe, you can just go anywhere on a plane. You know, it's only an hour away. So when I came back, I was determined to keep going to those countries because I felt so out of touch when I was in Ireland. Yeah. So yeah, we used to travel a lot. But not this year, but we will.
But you will, you'll get back there. So one of your favourite activities I've seen on your website and social media is that you like beachcombing, which is one of the things that I love doing too. So what has got you into that?
I think just growing up in Yorkshire, our coastline is... where are you from, you two, originally?
I'm from Stroud, near Gloucester.
Right. Yeah, my dad lives down in Hamble, near Southampton.
Okay. So this is the northeast coast, you know, Scarborough, Whitby, that area.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, we were kids. We were left chucked. We were in a caravan, you know, you were chucked out and left to play for the day. And we just wandered along the beach combing and, you know, collecting bits and dead birds and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And that's kind of stayed with me, I think. And everywhere I go, I do tend to, you know, just move towards the harbour. And I'm happy in the harbour. You know, the sounds, the smells, the diesel, the clicking of masts. I'm just completely at home.
Yeah, no, I am too. I am totally with you.
Yeah. And when I have a friend, Anne Scott, she's an urban sketcher.
Yeah, I know Anne Scott.
Yeah, she came to Italy with me couple of years ago, and she said, oh, you must come back and do a sketchbook thing in Sydney. And so we were going to do it on Cockatoo Island.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The dog, and I just love the word Cockatoo Island. It sounds so exotic, and then I tell people it's just this little place of Sydney. So that's the plan, but that might be next. Well, it's got to be next year now.
Yeah. Cockatoo Island isn't exotic. It's
crazy. And things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's very cool. They've had a few of the Biennale art exhibitions there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is. It's a very cool space. Yeah. Definitely, you'll love it. It's got
kind of place.
Got
shabbiness
to it.
Oh yeah. So when you lived in New Zealand, did you find like the Antipodean culture and their attitudes towards art different than the UK? Did you find?
Yeah. I mean, I started teaching in a Marist Brothers school. This is before I'd got a work permit, before I'd got a residency permit. Everything's a bit, yeah, you'll get by, you'll be all right. But I was teaching Polynesian boys and Maori boys who were bigger than me, and I'm 5'10", you know.
Yeah.
And I knew nothing about the culture, you know, and the stuff, the artwork they would do was amazing. And it was a steep learning curve for me, you know. And, you know, the artists you're looking at, we were researching, nothing to do with any of the European art culture, really. So, yeah, and I got quite into it. But... I came back 3 years ago, came to Sydney and then back to New Zealand, and it was far buzzier in Sydney, you know, there seemed to be a lot going on, whereas in Auckland I've got friends there, but I'm finding it hard to make the art connections, whereas you seem to have really buzzy, you've got good galleries, haven't you, down around you.
Yeah, we do. I suppose Auckland's quite spread out in a way, isn't it? They've got funky little bits outside the CBD. Yeah. Sydney's a bit like that too. I'd say most of the art galleries are sort of not in the CBD. They're a bit more
spread out.
Spread in the little cool bits.
It's getting smaller though. What we're noticing, Karen, is that the lots of galleries are closing and the online presence is becoming quite strong, but there are little pop-ups and stuff, but you're having to fight to get your work out there.
Really? Because you see on social media and it sounds like you're in this gallery, in that gallery, Debbie and what's his name, Mike. Yeah. Seem to be all over the place. As you will not be mentioned.
I think COVID hasn't been unkind to artists over here in a way, because a lot of people have still bought art. I think art sales have been pretty strong.
Yeah.
I suppose it's just more like openings, those kind of things haven't been as much. But have you found with lockdown and COVID, how has that affected your business? And what do you think about the arts funding in the UK at the moment? Are they helping?
They're not really, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. For me, because... actually, last year, firstly, sales were going really well. I think because everybody's sitting at home looking at their walls, most artists found their sales were well, even better. Mm. We had this artist support pledge. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, that was great. If you sold $1,000 worth of work, is that correct?
Then
£200.
Everybody was selling their work for £200, but once you sold $1,000, you bought back from an artist. You bought a piece.
I didn't know that.
Fantastic. It's just such a simple thing. Yeah. So everybody was producing smaller work and selling it around £200. And once you'd sold five pieces, you then went online and looked at everybody else's and bought a piece. And it was really good because you were collecting from artists who normally would sell for a lot more money, and you didn't make that effort usually. So we've all now got more art in our houses. And it wasn't just for artists, everybody was buying the work. So lots of people produced smaller pieces, which I did for a while, but it was a struggle for me to work at that size, really. So I think things are still kind of ticking along with that, but galleries, if they've got a really good online presence, they seem to be doing okay. And if a lot of them open in the summer, I have work in 2-3 galleries in Scotland, and they were still open, so they did quite well. Talking about shows coming up now, I'm supposed to have some work in some galleries, and a couple of them, they just keep delaying by a month, just saying, well, that show we're not going to open, because everybody's just living day by day to see what happens.
You have to.
Do you think a lot of small galleries won't survive it?
Yeah, probably. I don't know how they can. It's a struggle for galleries anyway. So at this time, when you have passers-by going in.
Do you think it will push a lot of artists to just sell online?
I think so. And I think, before this, we used to put my work on Instagram, but I would never say this is the size, this is the price, because it was that icky thing about selling. Whereas now we're not afraid to go, right, this is this piece of work, this is how much it costs, contact me. So it has really pushed us, I don't know if you find the same, it's really pushed us forwards to just use social media, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, to sell.
And I think people are braver at making a purchase, without seeing it in the flesh. I think there's a more confidence with purchasing work, perhaps if they haven't seen it, which is great. Small work, bring it on. Why not? People buy jeans. I don't know how you can buy a pair of jeans online. You've got to try it on.
Send them back, can't they? But we can always send the pictures back. But otherwise, about 3 years ago, I started making online courses for my sketchbooks, the concertina sketchbooks. And of course, that's gone really well because everybody's at home wanting to start new projects. So that's been fantastic. But that's given me the freedom now to paint in my studio and not worry about having work ready for an exhibition, because the online course is ticking along and we haven't got any exhibitions coming up. We haven't got any art fairs. So we really are quite a few of us. Still disciplined enough to keep working. We're painting really for us, really, really genuinely, not thinking, I've got to get this ready for 2 weeks' time. So that there's freedom, lots of freedom we can give.
That's right.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So tell us more about your online courses. So did you produce, edit, make all that yourself? And is it something you buy and you can do any time, or is it live?
They're not live. They're not live. They're evergreen. So about 10 years ago, a friend said to me, "Oh, make an online course. It really works." She was a felt maker, and it took me about 8 years to make one because I thought, oh, I can't do it. I haven't got the technology. I don't know how to do it. But it's with a company called Coursecraft. There's a few different companies. And if you've ever taught lessons in school and you know how to do a lesson plan, it's very easy. You slot your lessons in. I just make short videos.
Yeah.
So maybe 6 3-minute videos for each lesson. And I film it with my iPad on a bendy arm, so I can see it here. So you can see my hands working. And it's all in a concertina sketchbook, which is what I've been doing for the last 5 years. So that's all you see. It's not like you have to see a room or a big painting. And I've done them on 3 different themes, and they were based on weekend workshops, because I used to, about 3 years ago, I did this world tour. This is why I came to Sydney. World tour of my sketchbook workshop, and it was a weekend workshop. So I went to places like, up to Leeds, Norwich, Sydney, Barcelona, and in Italy, where people, if somebody said to me, "Will you come and run a course?" I'd say, "Well, if you can get about 10 people, this in Barcelona, it was fantastic." And then when I was coming to Sydney, Debbie got in touch, so she came to my course, and that's how we met. So it's basically, I work very freely, and it's a way of working in your sketchbook, but it's not about how to draw, it's about making marks and responding to those marks, and it's collage and paint and ink. And then I've just started I've just made a 6-week course, and I just released it for the second time. And I think it's mainly women that are on it, and they're, at the moment, they're like coiled up springs. They're so excited to just make marks in a book.
Yeah.
The same, it's just so liberating, especially at this time. And they're totally focused, and they're waking up thinking about what they're going to do in their sketchbook. And I think that's, if I can get people in this time focused, excited, and creative, it's doing its job, basically.
Definitely. A friend of mine over here, in our lockdown, started doing Tai Chi. He's a actor and a fight choreographer, so he's in the sort of that part of the creative world, and he felt the desire to create something, give back, whatever you want to call it, and he's still doing it. He said he gets so much out of it, and that when he wanted to stop it, he's in Sydney, but he said then Melbourne went into hard lockdown, and then he felt, I can't let them down, I've got to keep going. So I think it's great, isn't it, that people are turning to creativity and, doing good things like Tai Chi that are good for your mental health when we could all be hitting the bottom.
But if you take people out of their worries for an hour or so.
It's a gift. Yeah. Absolutely.
Discipline at the moment to do something, but if you look at you look at your sketchbook, you think, well, I'll just put a mark there, and then you're hooked in for another.
Exactly. Starting's the hardest thing. I say that when I'm teaching, I say, don't, just put something down every day. It doesn't matter. Just get your pen out or whatever and just make a mark, because often if you make one mark, you'll make another mark, and then before you know it,
you've got a drawing.
It's a bit like, how come I can't get to the gym though? I should be saying myself, shouldn't I?
1 foot forward.
I just need to put my trainers on, and then.
You've got also a strong social media following. Like, how have you built that up? Because that obviously helps a lot when you're selling your online course, to have a strong media presence.
I think it's about 10 years ago, we have open studios here, and we had a social media lady working on that, who encouraged us, said, get your Facebook page organized, get an Instagram page organized. And I did, and it's just daily working at it, isn't it? But I don't post every day, probably 3 or 4 days. And for me, I don't find it difficult to post when I'm in the studio, just a picture of what's happening. My Instagram feed isn't one of those beautiful ones with pictures. You're supposed to look at your whole grid, and it's all supposed to look, mine looks chaotic, but it's what's happening every day in the studio and the behind the scenes, when things aren't really working as well.
I think being honest is really important. I think that's, people love that,
And I think maybe lots of followers came from when I did that world tour. I think it was about 12 or 14 weekend workshops I ran through the year. Lots of those people then started following. Of course, they tell friends, and you know, it's word of mouth, isn't it? But now, I don't know. I mean, what's the Instagram? It's, I don't even look at the numbers. There's quite a few of those Russian bots on there, I'm sure.
Yeah, but there's always a Russian bot on Instagram. Yeah. You've got to have a few.
You've got to have a few. And how do our listeners find out about your courses? So they just go to your website. We'll put a link.
Yeah, they're on my website. But if I think if you just put Karen Stamper, concertina sketchbooks, that comes up.
Then I'll find you. And it's not a time thing, is it? As in
no, UK well, the six-week one is timed. Like it's, I've just released it again, so I'll release it again in the summer, I think. But the other, there's four smaller courses. You can do those any time. And the six-week one, you have it for a year. But the smaller courses, you can sign up any time, and you can keep rerunning and looking back. And you know, they've got it for life. The weekend.
Yeah, that's great. So do these courses relate to your practice? So you describe yourself as a contemporary British painter using collage papers. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right on your website? So would you say that predominantly in your courses it's working with collage and mark making, and it's your passions, or is it you can pretty much, you don't have to be doing those things?
Yeah, no, in the sketchbooks, it's what I do. I used to, when I first started teaching adults, because, I mean, for years I was teaching in secondary school and running workshops for adults as well. And I was teaching the same as I would in school, a little bit, you know, this is how, let's do a still life, let's do a landscape. And it didn't feel genuine. I felt I was just teaching.
Yeah.
So then I started teaching in the workshops for adults, how I use my sketchbooks. And then of course you're much more excited about your teaching because you're teaching what is used. So, you know, we'd start with collage and the mark making, and it became much more connected to my own work. And for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been trying to make my paintings more like my sketchbooks, you know, because people message me, don't they? And they say, so I've done the sketchbook now, can I do a painting like yours? You think, well, it's only took me a lifetime to get to this point now when I'm trying to make the two come together. So, you know, there's no easy answer.
No.
But yeah, I wanted my paintings to be as free as the work, as we all do. You know how we work in our sketchbook. We don't worry and then we get the painting on the wall. But the painting, yeah, they're collage. I start with collage. I don't have an idea in mind. I know if I'm working from Essaouira or from Harbour, or you know, and I start with a collage, some collage papers on there, and maybe some textured papers, and then start putting some paint on, and then juggling around until it starts to talk back and become something, and then it becomes more painterly, and then often towards the end there's more collage, but it's just paper, so it's not thick and lumpy. And the paper I use, I've found papers from my travels over the years. I've got boxes from different countries of all the different papers. And hand-painted papers and a lot of tissue paper that I hand-paint or stain with inks. And those are the papers that are embedded it's in acrylic.
Yeah.
So most of the time they look like paintings. It's not till you get close that you see there's collage papers.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. It's like, ooh, is that collage? You want to pick it.
Yeah, I always say you have to touch them.
Yeah.
But is that what you love about collage? That...
I think it's the age, you know. I love old weathered, you know, when you're in Italy or somewhere and you see those billboards and they've got 16 layers of paint, of posters on there, and you peel them off and there's another poster underneath and you peel them off. It's that aged, weathered kind of effect.
Yeah. Which
you feel over the papers. But it is a problem though, because you know, if you're into an exhibitions, often things are paintings or pastels. Very rarely do you see mixed media.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're entering a painting competition or an exhibition and they don't count mixed media as painting. So, you know, so it's just strange.
I don't know about you, Karen, but I don't like the term mixed media. I struggle with it because I've become a bit of a pain in the arse. I like to list all the materials because I think you don't really get an insight then. Mixed media is a bit like, I don't know, I find it a bit sort of too loose.
Media also is so computery technology, doesn't it? Sounds
so I now do, I literally say them all. So I'll say watercolour, ink, gesso, charcoal. I'll have it like this long, the explanation, because I'm like, I want you to know there is so much into this. It's not simple.
Well, and also it's sort of saying that all those things are not as important as paint.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say mixed media if it was acrylic and one bit of charcoal.
No.
Well, do you know what I mean? Like it's saying, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I just have a funny thing about mixed media. I don't know why. I think it's also, I think there's a fine line. I don't know what you feel about this with, and it's, this is no attack on the craft industry. It's just more of a comment of the, sometimes you can get sort of lumped into the sort of sewing circle type art, which is, you know, it's, that's a craft in itself, but I think it is, there's a difference, and I feel that you need to make sure that it's known.
Yeah, I think I sometimes say collage paintings, because you see collage often is magazine cuttings.
Painted, and I love the painted papers, because I also like to make my own papers, and people will say, you make the paper, and I'm like, no, I don't pulp the paper, I paint the paper. So, you know, and it's beautiful when you start using your own painted and printed papers, you know, it just becomes so luscious. And
I think I started using mixed media because it was a hashtag that I wasn't using, but it covered it. So we're now shaped by hashtags, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah, well, that's right. It does encompass, and people do generally know what that means.
They do.
So do you start outside sketching, and then you would bring that back to your studio and start something, or is it quite intuitive from the back of your brain what you've seen?
It's all coming from the back of the brain, because but generally I would say, I've been in Essaouira, I would sketch, probably fill a sketchbook in a few days there, then come back and I'd take lots of photographs, and I'd like to think that I work a lot from a sketch, really.
Yeah, that's
it's amazing how much is in your head, isn't it? It's the colours, the shapes, the sounds, the smells.
When you draw something, you really get back there, I find. You know, I'll look at a sketchbook drawing, and it could be quite a quick one. It doesn't need to be detailed. And I can remember what I ate at that coffee shop. I can almost remember a conversation. And I don't have a great memory. So there's something about drawing. There must be this brilliant connection that takes you there.
And it's those background sounds almost, and the smells, especially if you're in somewhere, isn't it? And you can almost remember a few minutes before you sat there and a few minutes afterwards, but nothing else of that day.
It's
something as artists, isn't it? Yeah.
And how are you sealing your collage papers on the canvas? Is it just a like a PVA wash or a...
Right, I used to put my work under glass. So for years I worked from being in the Mediterranean. I used to do facades of buildings. So they were old and peeling doorways and windows. And they were collage papers, purely collage, and they were under glass. And then I started, I wanted to not have work under glass for a start. So I started experimenting, and I worked with, you know, Nicholas Wilton.
Yes, we've heard of him. He's art juice girl.
So one of the, he taught us all to seal is to, so with your acrylic paintings, and this works with the collage. So I now work with, I used to use PVA glue and Marvin medium, which is a thicker glue, but now I just work with acrylic medium. So when I'm collaging, I'm using gloss medium or matte medium, and then if you imagine, it's building up with layers of collage paper, layers of acrylic, layers of medium, so it becomes this solid thing.
Yeah.
And then at the end, put some self-leveling gel, which is a thicker gel.
Yeah.
Then you sand it back slightly with wet and dry wire wool. So you And then just some wax, a little bit of Dorland's wax. I think that's American one. And then you buff it and you've got this lovely, almost satin finish. So it's not shiny, it's not matte. And I really like that. So that's what I do with the ones on board. I work on a wooden panel or on canvas. And the problem is, if you want to go back and alter it, it's a nightmare because you've got the wax on there.
Yeah. So you've got to know. It's like when you varnish, isn't it? You know that's it. There's no going back.
So lots of people who did use that technique are now not doing that. They're just putting a varnish on as a final seal. But because my papers are embedded in with everything, they're not changing colour. Like if you had old newspaper as your last on the top layer, and then you put a varnish on, it's going to seep into the newspaper and
yellow. Yeah.
So you've got to be selective with your papers. Now, don't use all those wonderful collage papers that I used to use when I was putting them under glass, because a lot of those would react with the sealant.
Oh, I see.
More of my own hand-painted papers, which have got acrylic on, so it's fine, and it all embeds in.
I love your black and white.
Yes.
Collage collages. They're so cool. They're just, oh, I like that one. Yeah, we'll have to put these up. You can't. They're really, really funky. I like them. Do you just rip, or do you cut, or you do a bit of everything, just whatever happening?
That working with, I don't know if you've heard of an artist, Jenny Nelson. She's American.
Oh.
And see, this summer we've all been doing hundreds of workshops. Well, you know, for us as artists, it's been a great chance to work with artists who wouldn't normally make courses as well. Yeah. So she's got a wonderful course. Again, it's about 4 or 5 weeks, and it was on hers. It was, you know, make big sheets of mark making paper and then rip them up and collage them. But I, you know, just working in black and white, it's so strong.
Yeah.
So that's what I was doing there, and they're just little studies. But you
same.
Even though we're in lockdown, there's not enough time to do everything. You know, I'd love to do the big.
I know, it's a bit like, apparently it's a bit like that when you retire. You're going to have all this time, and then you're like, how did I have time to work?
These things would, you know, like this Zoom meeting before, it would come at the end of a day's work in between going somewhere and doing this and the other. Whereas now, this has become the major event of my week. This one Zoom.
No, it's good, isn't it? It's good.
That's exciting.
Loving it. So what do you think you might do with the black and white studies? You're going to work them up into bigger pieces?
Yeah. My studio is about 8 foot by 16 foot. It's in the garden. And I just put the heater on before I came to the call, because it's snowy out there. And I haven't got a lot of room. So I've got the back wall, and I can put a canvas on there about a meter by a meter. So I was looking at one of your studios. Nice and big.
Honestly. I think it must be a magic eye, because I need more space.
I reckon yours is 16 foot. I reckon Fiona's is the same size as yours, Karen. Yeah.
Okay. But I find, you know, you can do some work and then move it that way. And then if you started some black and white ones, where would I put them? So I have to work in little batches. But the black and white one, yes, coming up after. I've got about 10 that are all nearly there. So I need to, you know, when you get to that point where you just need to finish them and move them.
Yeah, move them on, yeah.
In frames for hopefully an exhibition sometime this year. Yeah, you know.
That's planned, is it? So we can put that in our as well.
When I say exhibition, I mean the 2 or 3 galleries that do want work. They'll be going to those galleries if and when it happens.
Do you
sell online as well?
Through Instagram. I have this last year, but those are the smaller pieces. I don't actually put a lot up for sale because I'm busy working on them and they're on my website, and I haven't got a huge stock because I need to do more.
That's a good problem.
Good
yeah.
problem to have, isn't yeah. it? Definitely.
So yeah, I've sold the small ones online.
Oh, that's great. So what artists have you been looking at over the years that have really influenced you?
Okay, so of course I started with Matisse. When I first went off traveling, I went to Paris and saw the snail. You know,
I love that. Yeah.
And I remember being fascinated by the pinholes and the creases in his papers. So, you know, he'd obviously, his assistants had painted them, hadn't they? And then they'd put them in piles, and then he'd obviously pinned it many different ways. So, obviously Matisse. And I love, now the artist I look at is, I generally go to is Barbara Ray. Do you know Barbara Ray?
Yeah.
And but generally I look a lot at contemporary artists. Like I love Libby's work, Libby Mewing.
Lovely Libby.
Love her, the freedom in her work. And I don't know if you know Karen Ginsberg. She's on Instagram. She's American. Mark Eanes is another collage artist who is American. He's started doing online courses now. So generally, I'm probably the same as everyone else. I'm flicking through, looking at contemporary work rather than older stuff.
Rather than looking back to the masters.
Yeah.
And how do you balance your teaching and your practice? I mean, do you find that you manage that or?
Well, about 10 years ago, I stopped teaching because I didn't have time to go to school anymore. And what really winds me up is when people say, oh, did you retire? I was like, no, I stopped. So I don't teach physical workshops, and obviously not this last year. So I am just in my studio now. I teach yoga a couple of times a week on Zoom.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I'm a Inga yoga teacher, which I started in Auckland all those years ago. So, you know, the Zoom is on quite a lot for yoga teaching and yoga classes. That's another thing that's kept us sane.
Definitely. I've always wanted to do a stretch and draw session where you have half the class. So you have a yoga teacher. I've got a yoga teacher in my adult class, and we've talked about this. So she'll do the yoga teaching, and then half the class will be doing the yoga, and then the other half will draw them. And then you switch. And I just think it's great little clothes drawing. And then you get a yoga session as well. I think
you know what? Get a white wall, and I've tried to work this out, a paintbrush in each hand, and maybe on your knees and your feet, or something like that, and then do the yoga, you know, like triangle, against the wall, and you get all those lovely lines that would be the stretches.
Oh, I love it. What great idea.
Get nude, get your paintbrush.
Oh, no, not nude.
We're not nude. Definitely not nude.
Even doing yoga in shorts is frightening. It's like downward dog. Yeah. You see all the cellulite on your legs.
I did a naked plank a few times. It was awful. Oh, no. It's not good.
But you know, with Zoom yoga, we're seeing close-ups of people that you wouldn't see in class.
No.
You know, in class, they're 10 feet, as a teacher, they're 10 feet away from you. But now, you know, they're coming into something.
Yeah, exactly. They're dogs around the back, and God knows.
I think
my friend's a teacher, and the other day she was on the Zoom call, and for 20 minutes the kid had gone, but the dog was just sat in its place. 20 minutes staring at her. It's hilarious. Must be having, well, a nightmare, but a bit of a giggle with the Zoom classes, I tell you.
Oh, yeah. Especially teach art over Zoom, you know,
I did it for a few months. It was very interesting.
Chaos.
No, it was fine.
Fine.
It was fine.
No, I would be, how would you do anything more than paint and some probably drawing? I mean, for anyone who's interested in ceramic sculpture, in, you know, kids doing their A-levels, I mean, it's a disaster. Yeah.
My nephew's learning to be a chef. I mean, how do they do that? How does he do chef school online? It's so hard. Although I did like the council meeting that came out of the UK.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. It was the best.
That was so funny.
It reminded me of my dad at the caravan club meetings. He was a treasurer. I was like, oh, my God. It was the best. Wasn't it the best?
It was so funny.
Oh. It made me miss home.
Kat. Yes.
Oh. Anyway, thank you so, so much for talking to us, Karen.
Thank you for your time.
That's great. Lovely to see people in the other side of the world who are doing things.
Is that it? I want to ask you, is that a ukulele on your wall there, Karen?
Oh, it is. I think it was my dad's, but he didn't particularly play it, and it just sits there.
It's beautiful ukulele. Look at it. Wooden, all wooden. Yeah. Is it the wooden one? Because we've got them over here that the kids haven't. It's cardboard, I think, my son's one. Painted cardboard.
The wooden one, yeah. I mean, I just hang it there because it's a little thing.
Oh, this is cardboard.
Yeah. And it makes a sound.
Yeah. It's a proper ukulele, but it's not
good. Piano.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And then what is that? Is that little antlers on there? I love looking at what's in people's.
Oh, yeah. I wanted a big, you know, reindeer skull, but...
That's enough.
Yeah. It's a winner. Well, enjoy your day.
Yeah, good luck with all your 2021, and Karen, it will get back to normal one day.
It will be fine. It has to, because we quite like to see our family sometimes.
So yeah, exactly.
It would be good to be able to come back. We're running out of, you know, we need some Marmite. So if anyone could send us
my
some
mum's
Marmite.
Just put a massive box of prawn cocktail crisp Walkers in the post for me. So
she's not going to get them till Christmas. She's so excited. They're going to be stale by the time they get here.
Oh, I can't wait.
And now, so when we get back to Sydney, in hopefully next spring or sometime, we'll come see you and say hi.
Yeah, definitely. That would be lovely. It would
be lots of fun.
All right. Well, good luck with everything. Thank you so much, Karen.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye. Please don't forget to rate and review and share this podcast. It helps my mum and her friend Fiona get more listeners. Thank you.